You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Gary Hogan was working in the RAF when he realised he had issues with his sight, aged 25, and he was registered as severely sight impaired, age 33. He's now in his 40s and works as a maintenance control engineer for an airline, and he and his wife have a 3-year-old daughter. He's here today to talk about his sight loss journey and give us a look into his life. Hi Gary, how are you doing?
Hello Amelia, yeah, I'm good, really good, thank you.
Do you mind telling us about when you first started experiencing changes to your sight?
Well, I was in the Air Force. I joined at 17 and I was avionics, aircraft engineer, and I was working on a squadron, and there's quite a few aircraft shelters, and they can be quite dark. So as you walk in from one to another, it's not very well lit up. And I was walking with my friends and I was thinking that I couldn't see that as well as they could. So even though there was no problems with my sight, or I didn't notice any problems with my sight during the day, and I played football and I drove, I thought that maybe I couldn't see as well as they could at night. So, and then also a couple of weeks later than that, after that, I fell down a ditch, which was on some grass in between, at work, in between two buildings. I wasn't really hurt, but I thought that was because of my eyes, because I couldn't see that well in the dark. So I went to an optician, and the optician looked at my eyes, and then he asked who my doctor was. And because I was in the Air Force, my doctor was a senior medical officer at the base that I was at. I didn't know his name. So he was sort of saying, oh yeah, well, I need somebody to address this letter to. So I said, well, if you address it to a senior medical officer, then they'll get to him. And in the end, he said, well, how about I give you the letter and you give it to him? So I was okay. Yeah, no problem. So when I left, I looked at the letter, and the letter said, it looks like he has something called retinitis pigmentosa. Didn't really know what it was at the time, but it said he could question whether I could be an aircraft engineer in the future and whether I could drive.
You found a job that lets you use your skills and obviously is still involved in aviation. How did the job search go?
What I wanted to do really is get established in one of these positions, because I identified three positions. One was in quality control, believe it or not, but you know, for paperwork and stuff like that. And then the other one was teaching. And then the one that I'm in at the moment is where you manage the defects on the aircraft and the airworthiness of the aircraft. And that's done from a desk. And I work with in front of a computer screen with all the manuals and everything in front of me. So I've got access to all the information. People call our desk, pilots or engineers down route if they're having any problems, and then they report to us about the serviceability of the aircraft, and then we liaise with operations. So it's a really good job, really, for somebody whose eyes aren't great, because as long as you can see a computer screen, you're all right. I struggle to find the mouse sometimes, and I can't see much of the screen, but I can see the screen, and I can read diagrams just about.
As you realised that you wanted to start telling people about your sight loss, what were some of the most helpful avenues of support that you went down?
I could pretend to be sighted, and people don't really notice that much. I'd knock drinks over, and when people try shaking my hands, I can't see that. And there's quite a few things that are obvious after, but when you don't expect someone not to see well, it's okay to get away with it by saying you're clumsy and stuff like that. And walking into work, I used to pretend that I liked walking, even in the rain and the snow. And everyone was saying, why don't you drive? And I was saying, oh, I like walking into work. When obviously it wasn't the case. I spoke to a colleague and he said, oh yeah, speak to your manager, I think he'll be okay about it. So I spoke to the manager and he was supportive, and he said, we'll get a meeting together with his boss and his boss's boss to just let everybody know. So that we had this meeting, and I think they weren't too sure what I was going to say. And then when I told them, it's like my boss's boss was the one who said, well, your brain works 110%, so we're happy with you, and we'll support you as much as we can.
That must have been a big relief as well, after wondering what the response would be.
Yeah, it was, because I was sort of dreading that day for years and years. I knew it had come, and I just wanted to be in the best position I could when I told my employers, whoever it would be. And they've been absolutely great.
You mentioned adjusting to not driving anymore. Did you take up or change any hobbies or the way that you did things after sight loss as well?
During lockdown, quite a stressful time for me, because my wife's Russian. She was due to give birth in England just before lockdown. She gave birth prematurely, 2 months prematurely, but in Russia. And then the whole world locked down. And I was waiting for them to come to England. But that didn't really happen for about another year after that. For all that time, I was working. But when you come back to an empty house and the whole country was in lockdown, there was nothing else to do. So I wanted something to take my mind off it. So I started playing chess online. And I'd always known how to play chess. I knew the rules and everything like that. And I think I was like quite good, you know, when I played. I didn't have a strategy or read any books or anything like that. So I just thought I'd see how good I could get. So I went on YouTube, watched loads of videos, and I downloaded chess.com. And chess.com's got like a tutorial, you know, to teach you right from the basics. So anyway, I started playing that, and you've got a rating, and you can see your rating go up and down depending on how good well you do. At the end of lockdown, I joined like a local club, and I joined the Blind Chess or the Braille Chess Association. You don't need to know Braille to participate in it, and not everybody's totally blind. It's a really, really good organisation, so I got involved with them playing chess. It was absolutely brilliant for us. I took my wife and my daughter away for a weekend, and that's why I started, really. It said, when you join the association, it said they pay some money towards like a weekend away, and I thought, oh, that'd be great for the family. I'll take the family, I could meet some new people, and there'd be a chess tournament there as well. So that was my first tournament, and I wasn't really expecting to do that well. I got put into the Open, and I ended up coming second, and joined second in the tournament. It was hard work, but everyone was like helping in a similar kind of situation. And like I said, my family loved it. They loved how friendly and welcoming everyone was. And then after that tournament, 3 or 4 months, I got an email saying, would I like to represent the BCA internationally? They sent me to the World Championships in Rhodes. I didn't know what to expect. When I turned up, I was the only UK participant, but there were probably about there was 82 people from all over the world. And I was 82nd on the rankings when I first turned up. Played 9 games, like one game a day, and played people from Holland, Croatia, Uzbekistan, Lithuania. I did quite well. I think I finished joint 47th, I think it was. So I might not be totally right, but it was around mid-table. I learned a lot. There was a coach that came with me as well. The BCA provided a coach, a guy called Owen Phillips, who was really knowledgeable, supportive, good company as well. So we sort of did it together.
Would you have any advice for yourself or for other people at the start of their sight loss journey that you've learned a few years on?
I think I should have registered earlier, I think, and get the benefits of that, you know, because it was quite a long time where I just managed for myself. And even like with public transport and stuff like that, as soon as you register, you get a third off train travel, free bus pass and things like that. That was a big help. What I would like to say is that for anybody who's listening and who thinks they might be interested in playing chess, then like contact the BCA. You don't need to know Braille. You don't even need to know chess. Everybody will teach you right from the bottom, right from the start. There's all different levels there. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's the only thing that I can think of where partially sighted people can compete with sighted people on a more or less equal level. And it's a good community. I definitely recommend people get involved.
Well, thank you so much, Gary Hogan, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, Amelia.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.